words fail me to express my appreciation for the invitation to come and to be with you all, and then the kindness and courtesy and love that you have expressed toward us. I always feel a little uncomfortable when you haven't been with people in a number of years and you come back and they just like a long lost family member or something, and it makes me feel a little hypocritical. Because I guarantee you I'm not deserving of an ounce of that love, not an ounce. But I do appreciate it. Appreciate the hospitality of your pastor's home and his dear companion and the children and the conversations that we've had and the counsel that we have received, the visitation we've had here, and new experiences being related to me by some of you. I'll go back in that realm richer than when I came. We do stand in need of the Lord's help, and that's an understatement. We cannot preach unless the Lord give us the ability. Doesn't matter what liberty we might have had in the past or what liberty we might have in the future. The time is now. The need is now. And we're no more deserving now than we were last time that we stood before the Lord's people. So enough of that. If you'll turn to the 21st chapter of Isaiah. This scripture came to me during the night. And I haven't tried to preach on it in a number of years. So we trust it's of the Lord and that it will have some benefit to you this day. 21st chapter of Isaiah. And the 11th and 12th verse of that chapter. It says, "The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night?" Then he repeats that. Watchman, what of the night? The watchman says, "The morning cometh, and also the night. And if ye will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come." There's not a whole lot of spare words in that scripture, you know. It's kind of different scripture when you think about it. The role of a watchman back there, we don't have that same need to that extent that they had back in the day when this was written. Not that I'm an expert in that, but my limited understanding of that. Imagine, if you would, if you were inside of a city. Often the cities at that time were walled. Why? So that the enemy could not approach undetected. Protect those that are inside the city. How many of you, don't raise your hands, but how many of you awoke last night sometime before the alarm went off? If you're like me, you did a lot. And I finally got a watch that I can press the side here and the light comes on and I don't have to look for my glasses or whatever. I got the light inside my watch and I can just hit that and know what time it is. And sometimes I'm surprised. I've only been asleep 2 hours. And then other times I'm surprised the other way. It's almost time to get up. But oftentimes, that's the first thing I do when I wake up, is I want to know what time is it? How long before I need to rouse and start the activities of life? Well, there weren't clocks to look at back there. In fact, there weren't electric lights to light the city. Might have been candles, might have been torches. My understanding is the role of the watchman was to watch out while those in the city were sleeping. And there were certain hours of the watch. And they would cry out, whatever hour, it is the fourth hour, what comes next? And all is well. That's what you hope to hear. And that told you that you could, things are all right. Comforting message. Someone's watching. As far as that person knows, all is well. We can go back to sleep. Here, the text says twice, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? What hour of the watch is it? And how is the city? Are we all right? Do we have a problem? Is there a need that I need to be aware of? I think the application of this text today to us is that we all are subject to nighttime seasons in our life and how quickly they can come upon us. How many of us, from time to time in our lives, has the phone rung at 2 or 3 in the morning? That's never good news, right? If they got the right number, that's never good news. Someone has passed. I immediately think, my children, right? Remember, something's wrong somewhere. How quickly we can go into a night season and not even, I mean, just instantly, just that quick. Our lives have been changed by messages that we have received. Just the second before it, it seemed the biggest problem I had was the thing before me at that particular time during the day, or I didn't have any problem. I was drifting off to sleep, and I was asleep, and I was soundly resting, and all of a sudden, something wakes me up. And get a message. We can all go back to those experiences. Now, sometimes the message is not bad. Sometimes someone has had a child, and I'm a grandparent again, or whatever that might be. Don't expect to get any more of those messages, you understand. But doesn't have to be, but oftentimes it's something that causes us to enter into a night season. We heard today of prayer requests and situations that last week wasn't the case, and this week is the case. Families began to wrestle with those unknowns that lay before them. Whether it be health, whether it be job, whether it be finance, whether it be whatever. Just things that we were unaware of and to some degree pleasantly unaware of. And all of a sudden, we just instantly enter into a night season. Sometimes we see it coming. We see maybe the life of our loved ones going away that should not be going. And we warn them of that and we try to help them of it, but they're just headstrong going a particular situation. And we see this night season coming and try to ward it off and try to prepare for it. And yet when it comes, we find ourselves in a night season. Watchmen. What of the night? Well, here's what the watchman said. The morning cometh. That's good news. When the morning comes, we're no longer in darkness. From a natural standpoint, when the morning comes, you know, that's kind of the best alarm clock you can have, is where the light comes in the door and you just gradually, and don't have something just buzzing all of a sudden and wake you up from a startle standpoint, and you see the lights coming into the room and you awake. The morning coming. Your pastor quoted a scripture that's over in Psalms. Weeping may endure for a night. That's what happens in night seasons. We weep. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We need to be reminded of that. We need to understand that whatever night season we might be in at a particular time, there'll come an end to that night season. There'll come a time with whatever it is that although it might not be taken away, we do have a promise, my friends. And that promise is that His grace is sufficient. That His strength is made perfect in weakness. When we're in a night season, and sometimes it's a night season where someone has hurt us, and sometimes it's a night season where we have hurt somebody else. But whatever the case is, we find ourselves alike. And what are we to do? We toss and we turn and we roll and we worry and all of that, my friends. Someone needs to tell us. The watchman needs to let us know that although you don't find yourself in a state of joy, it's coming. It's coming. This shall not endure. That situation of stress and worry and pain and helplessness, there'll come an answer for you. God has promised, I'll not leave you comfortless. We need to be reminded, my friends, that the promises of God are not yea and nay, but yea and amen. And He has the answer when we don't even have the question. We just know we're in a night season. Now listen to what the watchman says. The morning cometh. What comes next? And also the night. Don't think that just because we've come through a night season that now we're not going to have any more. No. Our lives are ups and downs. We sang a song at home, mixtures of joy and sorrow I daily do pass through. Sometimes it's this way and sometimes it's this way, the song says. One of those verses says, sometimes I read my Bible and 'tis a sealed book. Sometimes I find a blessing where'er therein I look. Mixtures of joy and sorrow. It's not a straight level path. It's hills and it's valleys. Let us not think that somehow we can live in such a way in this life that we're guaranteed not to have night seasons. We're gonna have, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. That's one of those shells. That's a hard shell. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. But what comes next? Be of good cheer. For I've overcome the world. The watchman needs to tell us, my friends, the joy cometh. My friends, the best place of refuge that I know of in this life is in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet some of the darkest times that I've experienced personally has been in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a quandary. What a mystery. The morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, then just inquire. What does that mean? Why would you inquire? Sometimes I think it appears, don't know that it's this way, but it appears that some folks just go from problem to problem to problem. We need to get to the point that we inquire. Where I have a problem. I was a plumber for about 2 years, and I use that term very loosely because I was a ditch digger is what I was. Excuse me. But I remember, that was in Mississippi, if you want to know that. Used to live outside of Oxford, Mississippi, when my oldest child was born there in Oxford, Mississippi, several years ago, 40 plus years ago. But I remember I knew nothing. Nothing. And it was a member of the church that had this plumbing business, and we went out on the first call. And we went out there, and it was this old house that they wanted to redo. And as a plumber, you never wanted to see that. You never got used to going under houses because you didn't know what you were going to crawl over. And what was going to be in there, skunks or whatever it is. But anyway, it was raining and had to walk, mud all around, had to walk on boards to get to the high porch from the, and so forth and so on. Anyway, plumber jumped out the door, I jumped out the door. Plumber walked up to the house, I walked up to the house. Plumber walked inside the house, I walked inside the house. And he looked at me. He says, "Where's the flashlight?" "Out in the truck." Sonny goes out, comes back in. Got the flashlight. Finally go into the bathroom, the tub that we were going to work on that particular day. And we sat down, and this plumber's really a patient individual. And he said, "I need a Phillips head screwdriver." Went out, came back, had a Phillips head screwdriver. And he continued that. "I need a crescent wrench. I need channel locks. I need a straight head screwdriver." And he kept on and kept on, and dumb me, he finally said, "Sonny, is there anything left out in that toolbox?" And I looked around, "No, not much." He said, "Wouldn't you have been better off when we stepped out the truck if the first thing you did was grab the toolbox and the flashlight?" What's the point? My point is, sometimes we don't recognize the need we have. And we're just suffering and wondering, what is going on? Inquire. What's wrong? What have I done? What can I do? Inquire. Ask. Seek. and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be opened up unto you. What's our toolbox? The Word of God. We can inquire. Listen to what the 27th Psalms, one of my favorite verses and many people's favorite verses. 27 and 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Look at the priority of that. You know, everything can't be number one. We do realize that, right? There has to be a number. Now, there can be a bunch of twos, but there has to be a number one. For David, he is saying it. One thing. Oftentimes in my little bitty experiences of life, when I see complex things that I'm facing, I try to break it down in its most simplest form. What's the one thing? One thing that I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and listen, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Sounds like there's a hiding place there, doesn't it? In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I had two verses that woke me up. One was, "Watchman, what of the night?" But that wasn't the first one. That was the second one. The first one, and I hadn't thought of this song and I hadn't thought of this scripture in years. And it just hit me. And the scripture if I can find it. It's in the 61st Psalms. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. You know what David's doing? He's inquiring. He's inquiring. That's how we inquire, folks. We pray. Aren't you glad that when you have a desire to prayer, you don't have to go through the preacher? You don't have a man that stands in as much need as prayer as you do to go to for him. When folks say, "Pray for me, Brother Sonny," I try to do that, but they think my prayer was going to have any more impact than anyone else's prayer. It doesn't. Here's how the human mind thinks about that. If I can get one person to pray for me, and then I can get two people to pray for me, that's twice as much. And if I can get four, that's four times. And if I can get 100 people to pray, how about if I can get 500 people to pray? Surely the Lord will hear that. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says the fervent, righteous prayer of how many? Or the prayer of a righteous man. Just one. God's not impressed with what we would seem to be impressed with. It just takes one prayer, my friend. Just one. It availeth much. David here is inquiring. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. That's wonder to far off, my friends. To feel like you're at the end of the earth. Have you ever felt to be at the end of your rope? Ever felt to be so alone? And then have a pity party about it like I do from time to time? Poor me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. All right? From the ends of the earth will I cry. What's he going to cry? When my heart is overwhelmed. Sounds like a night season to me, folks. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't need a rock that's lower than me. I don't need a rock that's equal with me. I need a rock that's higher than I. I don't need a rock that I've dug. I don't need a rock that's artificially made by man. I need the rock of ages. The cleft in that rock of ages. Oh, how precious it is when we recognize that we can go to the Lord and He already knows what we need. We don't have to explain to Him what you've done. Now, it's good so that we confess it ourselves, but we don't inform the Lord. Here's how I pray sometimes. Lord, here's the problem. Here's the solution. Like an internet search. Here's where I'm at. And here's what I need you to do. And, you know, in 10 minutes would be nice. No. No. Lord, I don't know what my problem is. All I know is I've messed up again. All I know is that I'm in a night season. I'm overwhelmed with billows over me. Think of Jonah as he was in the belly of that fish and that fish laying on the bottom of the ocean, as it were. Bible describes that as the seaweed around his neck and all of that stuff. And he cries out in that position. Think he needed a higher rock? Think he did. You think he found a higher rock? I think he did. Salvation is of the Lord. If you will inquire, inquire. How about if you don't inquire? Well, I tell you, the Lord, He says, if I remember the scripture, if, I'm going to misquote it, if ye be evil, and you know how to, you know, raise your children or whatever the case might be, how much more your Heavenly Father? He doesn't need our counsel. Lord, help me. Forgive me. Direct me. Be with me. Help me. You know what the Lord never grows tired of? A contrite and a broken spirit. 51st Psalms, you can go read that and understand the situation when David realized that his sins have been laid out before him, and thou art the man, so forth and so on. And he writes the 51st Psalms, and one of the things he writes is that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. David was a shepherd, was he not? Heard a man preach this, and most of what I have is borrowed from somebody. But I remember a man preached this one time, and I thought it made a good point, and I think it's true. But even if it's not true, it still makes a good point. In every trade, there's what's called tricks of the trade. Let's go back to the plumbing business. I worked with that man for about 2 years. And he taught me, and I never could do it. But he'd have a piece of rebarb with a kind of a twisted handle on the top, and that thing was sharp on the end of it. And we could go out trying to find a water line or a sewer line or whatever that thing might be. And he'd walk around in the yard. You know what I had? I had the shovel. And he'd take that rod and he'd put it in the ground this way, and he'd put it in the ground this way, and he'd put it in the ground this way. And he'd do that 4 or 5 times, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and finally he'd say, "Sonny, dig right here." And 90% of the time, he was right on top of that pipe, even if it was 12 inches or 18 inches down. I said, "How do you do that?" And he says, "Ground that's been dug feels different than ground that has not." Sonny never figured that out. It all felt like ground to me. But my point is, there's tricks of the trade. Being in the accounting business and so forth, one of the errors that you often have is you reverse numbers one with another. Instead of putting 19, you put 91, that type of thing. And if you're off and you're being able to divide the amount that you're off, was it by 7 or by 9? Now I forget. But if you're able to divide the amount you're off evenly by that number, chances are that you have switched two numbers around. Just tricks of the trade. Well, shepherding business had some tricks of the trade. And it was one of the last things you would do to a little lamb. Isn't it funny that you can have 3 children, let's say, and there seems to be one odd one out of the 3. You have one that just seems to get in there. Now, every child here is looking at their brother and sister and saying, "You're it, you're it, you're it." Pardon me, I ain't saying, okay? I didn't have to worry about it because there was just 2 of us and both of us were odd, so that didn't do it. But anyway, always getting in anything. Just always the trouble. Just always getting into stuff. Well, sheep can be that way. Lambs can be that way. And one of the worst things a lamb can do is in the time of trouble run away from its shepherd instead of running to the shepherd. We're not much different, folks. We're not much different. So here's the trick. After that shepherd has worked and tried to get that lamb to just be with it, but if there's trouble, that lamb's going to be way far off, and eventually a wolf's going to get him. He's going to get in trouble that the shepherd won't be able to rescue him from. So what he does is he breaks the 2 front legs of that little lamb, binds them up, puts the lamb on his shoulders, and begins to carry that lamb until those legs get healed. And when those legs are healed, and he takes the dressing off of those legs, you cannot drive that sheep away from that shepherd. That the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. We can be so wayward that the Lord will break us so that we might know from whence our help cometh, and that we can be in the shadow of our shepherd, that we can be under the wings, so to speak. Remember our Lord as He looked across Mount of Olives, on the Mount of Olives over Jerusalem? "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth gather her chicks, and thou wouldest not." Oh, church, we need our shepherd. But God, in His mercy and His compassion, has provided you here and other Old Baptist churches across the country something that's referred to as the under-shepherd. Now, the under-shepherd can't do what the shepherd can do. But the under-shepherd can be a watchman. If you will inquire, inquire. Ask. Search. Pray. That plumbing experience. That plumber once told me, after I made some more silly mistakes, he finally, out of frustration, his patience finally got to an end with me. And he said, "Sonny, I don't mind folks that don't know, but I think sometimes you don't even suspect." Yeah. It's been my experience. If ye will inquire ye, return, come. Now that's interesting language. You would think that'd be one and the same. If you return, haven't you come? Return, come. Pastor and I were visiting this morning, and he mentioned to me of something that Elder Mark Richards preached last weekend and the liberty that he had in it. And we had talked about some of these scriptures, and when we went over there and read it, it's in the 17th chapter of Luke. We went over and read it, and we saw it at the same time. There's a returning in this. And it sure fits what we're trying to say. So let's go turn to it and read it. 17th chapter of Luke. Here's where the 10 lepers were healed, and only one did what? Returned. Listen to it. 11th verse, 17:11. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.'" Now here's some interesting language. "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Now, isn't that interesting? He didn't cleanse them right there. He told them to go unto the priest, as was the law. And as they went, they were cleansed. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." You know what that is? Blessed be the God, Father. That's what that is. Yeah. "And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.'" Only one returned. "And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" How'd that happen? He returned. When he returned, thy faith hath made thee whole. The circuit's complete, you see. When we return, we complete the circuit that God has healed us. Now the other nine were healed, but they weren't told, thy faith hath made thee whole. Only the one that returned was told that. Now, after we returned, what are we to do? Come. What's that mean? Let's follow Him. Come. Come. Let's follow Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy weighed, and I'll give thee rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, and you shall find rest. You know there's two different rests in that? One is a given rest, and one's a found rest. If you're going to find rest, you need to return, and then you need to come. There's so much more that can be said about this. But hopefully, my friends, the next time that you find yourself, or I find myself, or peradventure we find ourselves together in a night season, may we encourage one another along these lines. It just endureth for a night, and joy is coming. Joy is coming. I guess one of the darkest night seasons that we have is when death of a loved one. But you know, I've seen people share, my wife's grandparents, Elder and Sister Corley, both of their first companions died. Both of them. And Brother Corley had three children from that. And Sister Corley, when Corley then, had one child. And their spouses died. Now, the one child that Sister Corley, who wasn't Sister Corley yet, Sister Sliger, the one child she had was my wife's father. Dire situation. This was back years and years ago, and just poverty and so forth and so on. And here's a man with three children. What am I going to do? And here's a woman that hadn't even had the baby yet, was with child when her husband died. And all kinds of vicious things were said as a result of that. But the Lord blessed them to find each other. And they had three more children and celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary as their second marriage. How often have you heard that? God can take bitterness and, just like He put the branch in it, turn the bitter water sweet in an instant. He can take the sorrows. Know what He said? As He quoted out of Isaiah when He went back to Nazareth or whatever, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. My friends, what a Lord we got. What a God that we got. May we help one another along the way and not be a hindrance. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. May God bless you is our prayer.